The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Welcome all. I understand that you're all 1Ls. My name is Macarena Saez. I teach comparative family law, and strategic litigation in international human rights, and I direct the Impact Litigation Project here at WCL. And along with Professor David Hunter, who is sort of like moving around because he's also talking about environmental law in the environmental law group, so he probably will be coming at some point here. We would like to have a conversation with you about international law, which is usually one of the main areas that most of our students or many of our students are interested in. First of all, I always say this, even though I've been here for so many years, as you can notice, I have an accent, I'm not original from the U.S. I'm a Chilean attorney, and my training is from Chile and from the United States, and I've been here at WCL for quite a while. This is a really vibrant community, and Professor Mangi is here as well. As I said, I teach in the areas of international human rights and comparative law, and I also teach family law. And we welcome all of your questions. David, I've been asked that you need to speak from a mic, but I can bring the mic for you because we are recording. Okay. All right?
So you can speak.
Well, you have to say who you are.
No, I just started my speaking right this minute. Oh, you want to speak here and I'll speak
no,
here?
No, I can bring the mic for you so you can sit down and ask
me. Oh, no, that's all right. I'll be good. Get the mic. Hi everyone, I'm David Hunter. Many of you, probably about one quarter of you know me, because I teach torts in the first year. Nice to see you. Happy New Year, first off. Welcome back. So I direct the International Legal Studies Program in my other hat, and I teach international and comparative environmental law as a professor. Just to describe structurally, well, because I walked in a little late, where were we?
I only said
4 hours. Oh, okay. Then let me just describe what the International Legal Studies Program is so you can kind of start to navigate international issues around the law school. I'm good. Right? You're worried about my...
No, I'm thinking that maybe we can just...
Okay.
That's what I was wondering, what are you...
We can always use more slang.
I didn't get any.
Let me just finish with what are these, that I'm director of the ILSD. It's sort of one of the many centers that deal with international law. It particularly, just so you know though, is connected to the LLM program. And that those international lawyers, or those lawyers who come back to study for a master's in international law. And so the primary role of the ILSD that I direct is to service the LLM students who are studying international law. And it's not to say that we don't do a lot of things that connect with JDs, but just so you can kind of structurally understand it. It's not that I don't do a lot of things that connect with JDs. That's what the International Legal Studies Program primarily is. I wanted to mention it here, though, as well, because it's a tremendous, we'll talk about a lot of different resources, but it's one that JDs don't think about a lot. We have 200 foreign lawyers, or roughly, that study here. They're only here for a year. They come, they want to learn about the U.S., they want to meet people. They're only here for a year. And so one of the things is that it requires JDs to reach out to them, and it requires them to reach out, because by the time they learn their way around the campus, they're in their third month, and they've started to do that, and they've got some connections. So for people who want to study abroad, or study or work abroad, or who are just interested in intercultural and exchanges, I just want to put a marker down as you start your second year. Find a way to, and we hold mixers and stuff, but find a way to reach out to the LLMs and be a little proactive, because they're a tremendous resource for students who want to have an international career, and they're one that's underutilized by the JV community because you also kind of have to be proactive to do it while they're here, because then they're gone. And I remember this when I was a student, and now I know a few of the people who studied LLMs while I was in school, and I think, why didn't I know them when I was a JV? It was so interesting. That's what the International Legal Studies Program is. There's also an organization in school called the Global Opportunities Program, which is directed by Teresa Kaiser in her office. And we can talk, and that's the place that's oriented for study abroad, summer exchanges, and does nothing with the LLMs, but does much with the curricular aspects for foreign exchange and things like that. So just so you can start to understand the programmatic thing. And I'll say more about the global opportunities in a second.
I think that this is a very flexible form.
Okay.
And the idea is for us to hear your questions about anything that has to do with international law in the next 2 years. So you may have questions about classes that you want to take, opportunities that the school offers beyond the regular inside classes. So, for example, Sonia was speaking a little bit about our global opportunities. We have semester abroad, we have dual degree programs, we have summer programs abroad, we have externships abroad. So there are a variety of opportunities that can allow you to travel while you are here studying with us. And you may also have some questions about careers in international law, what you can do after you graduate. And by now you already have, I assume, a little bit of more of a grounded idea of what international law is and what it means, because you know, many of you, I'm pretty sure, when you entered your school, you included into your interests international law without a real knowledge of what that meant. So many times that means that you were thinking that you would like to travel. Others, it may mean that you wanted to use a language skill that you have. Others, it may be that you want to use, work in an area that it's particularly international, but you're thinking about getting a job here. So there are many different ways that you can interpret a career in international law, which is very different than saying, I'm interested in international law as a discipline. So many things that are international are not specifically international law as a discipline, which means that you're not necessarily working with international courts or with international treaties, but you're working with national law and you're working with foreign clients, for example, or foreign corporations, etc. So there are several different ways that this interest of yours in international law may end up really meaning, it may end up meaning different things. So I don't know if you want to add something else.
How many of you feel like you know what the faculty working groups are? This is a meeting of the international faculty working group. You guys have a good idea about what this all is? I'm not going to ask you, but one of you felt confident about it. So let me, you just had a meeting. Did all of you go to the first part of this where you were able to just learn about the faculty working groups? Maybe some of you did and some of you didn't. So let me tell you what the International Faculty Working Group is, which is really what this meeting is about, and also what the working groups are idea. The faculty working groups, in case you didn't hear, I'll be very brief, were an initiative started last year by led by the faculty to try to organize ourselves a little bit into thematic areas, so to organize the faculty a little bit more in thematic areas, with the goal of being able to help you all navigate this big school, but also navigate the school in a way that will help you with your careers. So the faculty working groups are oriented towards helping you launch your careers in whatever field you want to. And so you'll be asked to, and I don't know exactly the timing, to sign up for a faculty working group if you want to. And this is the international faculty working group. Two doors down is the environment and energy faculty working group, which I'm also a member of, and I'm going to run there for a minute and say hi. And like me, you may sign up for more than one faculty working group. Now, what will the faculty working group, what have they done in the past, and what are they looking at? The largest one is usually the international one. But what we've done is we it's a way of us, one of the first things we've done is we started to develop the what we call the curriculum pathways. So that was a faculty-led effort, so that if you're interested in a particular career pathway, you can find the pathways at the top of the website, at the homepage, and it helps you, it's a web-based way of helping you to choose a curricular path that will help you in a certain area. So if you're interested in international environmental law, for example, this is pick mine, you can go to the international law pathway and you'll be able to click down international environmental law. It'll give you some general advice about which classes to take. Both, some of them would be obvious, take international environmental law with me, of course. That's in all the pathways, I think, now.
All the pathways
that go back to the same. All come back to international law. You want to study business? You do it or no. Some obvious ones, but then some not so obvious ones. And then it also connects you with faculty who can give you advice on the curriculum. So that was on the curriculum side. And then the working groups are also designed to try to hold some different events or activities for you that will help you over the next couple of years in your career search. So, for example, as past examples, this working group last year held a resume review process where we invited alumni and others from Washington who work in international law, and we paired them with students who submitted their resumes in advance, and we met with 15 minutes, and they went over your resume and gave you advice about it. That was something that we can do as a faculty, because we have the power to convene these people from outside. This year we're, well, I'll let you talk about some of the things we're going to do this year, but it's that kind of thing. And one of the things we want to hear from you is, what do you think would be helpful? What kind of activities or events? We're going to start, we started sort of quasi-mentor programs with alumni and some of the other working practice groups. So this one's so big that we're going to have difficulty doing a one-on-one like that, but we're going to work out ways to get you advice from alumni, get you connected in networking, help you in other ways. So that's the goal that we have. The faculty are committed to it, these different working groups. So the first step is that you'll need to sign up officially for the working group, for a working group, if you want to be hear about the activities and participate in it. And then the second step will be to be proactive and participate. Come to the events, sign up for them, talk to us about what we want to do. So we co-chair the semester of the faculty working group. There are, I think, 10 other faculty, I believe, that have signed up for it. That are affiliated with it for this semester, full-time faculty.
Anything else generically about the faculty?
Is there any question about the generically about the faculty working groups? And I mean, I have a lot of questions about them. We're living and learning. We're responding. This is a faculty response to the challenges of finding careers in law as the legal profession went, is going and went through changes starting a few years ago. And so this is one of the responses we've had, is to organize ourselves more explicitly towards the career search and to try to use our resources as faculty to help you. And we were always doing it individually, but now we're trying to do it in a more coherent, co-op way. I think it's been useful and helpful, and hopefully you will find it will be helpful to you as well. So your second and third year colleagues have already signed up for working groups. We have right now, how many in this room? Several hundred, the largest, which makes what we can do a little different. I think we have 300 or 400 of your colleagues that have signed up already for the working group. Some of you have already as well. But it also means that if you have an interest in one of the other working groups, you may also want to sign up for both. At its basic level, it's a listserv that allows us to get you information and to be able to communicate with you. And another way, it's a way for us to, try to identify. As another example, we took all the 3Ls that graduated, and we emailed all of them from last year's listserv, and we said, who graduated, and we said, okay, Do you have a job that you're happy with? If not, tell us now and tell us what we can do as a faculty working group to continue to help you in your first year. So, you know, we're doing what we can do. And it wasn't very many. I mean, of the probably 75 that had graduated that wanted to remain on it, only six or seven said that they were, you know, and actually half of them had a job that they wanted to continue to look at international law and so forth. So, we have a number of slightly wrong. So we can work individually with those. I mean, that's not a, we've whittled down 400 to 7, so we can do it. You want to talk a little bit about plans for this year? Or any questions first about the faculty working with Joan? Yeah. It sounds like it, although typically we weren't pushing, I don't think anybody was pushing it towards the first years in September, so I don't know if somebody can describe it. I mean, we weren't preventing any first year. We have first years that have already signed up for the working group, but we, because of the career, which all schools have, this sort of agreement that you don't push career planning on the fall of your first year. This is what we're doing now. We're pushing this forward now to in the first week of January, because now is the time when OCPD and others are starting to work towards it as part of the general agreement. So it may be that you were exposed to it, but it wasn't directed towards the 1Ls at that time. But it sounds, the way that you described it, as a similar thing. And we don't, I should say, we don't send a lot of emails to this listserv, and I'm going to talk to you about another listserv in a minute. So we don't send all the global opportunity issues that happen. We pretty much use this listserv. In fact, we'll blend it with what's called the global opportunities listserv. But we'll use this listserv particularly for very focused things about career and the faculty's involvement. So there's multiple listservs. And maybe I don't want to confuse the two things because I know it's confusing already. So I'll do the global opportunities listserv to make sure that people are listed in that separately.
So one of the things that we're planning on doing for this semester is one of them is going to be a meet with an event specifically for you guys, where you will be able to meet with different faculty who will teach in international law, so you can get to know them better and you may have particular questions for them. We will also do some mentoring and networking opportunities that will be not only for rising as well as for 1Ls in the last semester, but also for 2Ls and 3Ls. As David was mentioning, we try to avoid sending a lot of emails. So we try to, the way that the, and I don't know, maybe the Elizabeth you were mentioning, maybe this is what it is. You have to provide a lot of information in terms of your interests. So, for example, the way that we view the list that we get, we know, for example, how many of you would like to have a job abroad. So that allows to group you in terms of, well, these people are looking for jobs abroad, and from these people are looking for jobs in a particular region, for example. It allows to know whether you're interested in international human rights law or international arbitration. So we can group you and ask one of our faculty who are experts in one particular area of international law to work with some of you in that particular area and bring you your resume on that. So it gives you a lot of possibilities in terms of the information that you want us to have about you. And that allows to provide a better service in terms of what it would be beneficial for you for your advice. Any questions?
Yeah, I have one more question. One of the things we're going to try to do this year, we may do a big resume review event. I'm kind of a It worked pretty well, but what we're going to try and do this year as well, which I think will be more exciting and more interesting, is we're lining up alumni in different areas, and we're going to ask them to meet with small groups of students, 5 to 6, at their office. So you get out of here and you see them down in their office. And we're going to use, that's one of the major things we're going to do this spring. So if you said, or even if you didn't say it, and we'll send it out, the listserv will say, look, there's an opportunity to go down. First 6 who sign up will have coffee with Paul Hague and the Beverage and Dining, who does international government law, for example. You go down to his office, it's not an interview, it's a learn about how he got his career, spend an hour and networking. So we're going to try to see if we can make that work. And a lot of this is experimental, we're trying different things. We're going to continue to do what we always do. We'll have events here, we'll bring alumni here to talk about their career paths, we're always available, to come in and talk to us about careers. We're going to do all that. We're using this to experiment with different things. So one of the things we're going to do is have a series of these, and we'll police it enough so that even if you're the fastest on the email, you don't get every spot, so we'll try to spread it out a little bit and line it up with people's interests. But we're hoping to have a series of those, and I think they'll be very interesting in a way for you to meet and learn about people in the profession. And do it in a little bit more informal way, and also get you out of the building and we're not in the network. So that's what we may do instead of a broader resume review this year. Although a lot of the other work groups are doing what we're doing.
All right, questions?
Pretty sure I'm not going to be the only one with this concern, but a lot of this program and some of the stuff for OCPD and other things are all kind of pushing us to discuss our interests and define our interests. I know I have a pretty broad subset of interests. International law can combine everything. Like, I know I want to do something with an international focus, but there's so many things out there.
Yeah.
What's the best way to begin narrowing down that process?
Yeah. I don't know. No, actually, I still don't know what I want to do in international law. No, I mean, I think it's good. I mean, you're right. Sorry. But it's a great question. And actually, and one of the reasons why we wait is, you're right, we're asking to do all the information. To be honest, the information we get is only partially helpful because everybody rightly checks every box because they don't know. So part of this is a process of mutual learning. And we don't actually, you shouldn't feel any pressure to know exactly what you want to do yet. That's what law school's about. And you haven't even been able to take classes that you think you might be interested in because you've been taking the first year class. And who knows, you might have really gotten psyched about torts, for example. It happens sometimes, really, but it's okay. So don't worry about that. And also, this will be a three-year relationship and exploration. The faculty working groups are now a permanent fixture after last year. I think we'll continue them. And so don't panic, don't worry about it. It's a broader question. But one of the things is that you'll know if you think, what is this field, international business? You can go to the pathways or through the faculty working group and find out, okay, David Snyder's the guy to go talk to about international business, and he's willing to go and talk to you about it, or something like that. Or unless you've had him as a professor and you know you don't want to go talk to him, I see a bunch of chuckling people. There are others too, but the point is that we hope this will help you explore different avenues. You don't have to sign up for one and be stuck in that one at all. As far as the best way to do it, the only thing I can say is to be open-minded about the broad courses you're taking now, and also to pay attention to the different events and different areas that happen, because they bring a lot of different expertise here. I'm one of a believer that career paths are not sorted out. I mean, when I was sitting in your seat, never thought I'd do international law, and B, never had any aspiration of being a professor. My career path took me international and then wound me around back here, and I'm very happy where it took me, but if I'd been asked, it would have been last. I wasn't against it, but I would have listed 15 other things. Now, I knew I would be doing environmental, so I was kind of involved in that, but the list would have been very different than my career path. So that's one of the great things about law. You can go in different directions. And you know, part of the whole point of this faculty meeting is to give you another avenue for exploring some different approaches. You want to add to that?
So I think that one of the issues also of a large school is that we have so many events, so it can be overwhelming. Every single day there seems to be an event. And you hear from OCPM, from us, that you have to be able to go and network and go and talk to people, but you also have to go to classes, and you also have to get good grades.
You have to relax also, you know, about the process.
It is a little bit, so it's a little bit conflicting in terms of, it's overwhelming. And I think that if there is no right or wrong answer, as David is saying, in terms of, you will know, I guess, at some point. But I think that what has worked for me and the type of advice that I give to these students is, one, don't try to go do everything, and two, don't try to go do all things that are in the list of your interests. Like, try to go do things that you're not necessarily interested in, because you don't know until you go and see what it is like. So not only in terms of events, try to, I think that first of all, you need to study that list of events. Because it's you have wonderful names, but not necessarily all of them are worth your time. They are worth, every one of them are worth the time of someone, but not necessarily your particular time. So make sure that you choose correctly, not on the basis of whether there will be lunch served or not, but which is something that now I think nowadays is more important than before, because we used to have lunch so much. But so narrow it down, and when you're going to go to these things, make sure that you just not sit down. So if you're going to make your time worth it, make it worth it. You come, you sit down, you listen to it. You don't bring your computer and start chatting with your friends, because then you're really wasting your time. There's no point on coming here and sitting here and having your brain somewhere else, because there is a cost-benefit in analysis on all these. So make your choices wise and use your time wisely. So if you're going to have an event, you bring your brain to that event and make sure that you say, this time I'm going to ask a question. And come prepared for that. This time I'm going to ask a question. Unless, of course, it ends up being something that is not worth your time, which also can happen. But most likely, I mean, you have to come prepared and say, well, I'm going to come, at least I'm going to ask a question. And then afterwards, I may approach someone, and I'm going to say, what's my name, what's my interest, and why you're approaching this person. But that's why you need to make sure that you're not just going to events, you're participating in events. Otherwise, there's no point for you to waste your time. For that, you just come, grab your lunch, do like you hear, and then you move away and then you move with your life. But try to make sure that you are efficient on that. The same with the classes that you keep. I think that even though I have a very specific interest in my life, in terms I do women's rights and LGBT rights, if I went to law school today, I would not choose all the classes that are related to human rights, women's rights, and LGBT rights. I would really expand my focus, not for different reasons. One is because it could be utilitarian in terms of, well, I think it's better to have a resume that is a little bit more, that has more variety in it. But also, substantively, I think it's better for you. Even if you already know what you want to do, even if you have an interest, a particular interest, it's better if you know law in different areas. You need to be knowledgeable in different areas. So when you do human rights, you need to be a good constitutional law expert. You need to know even torts. You need to know contracts. You need to know different things. So make sure that you approach different areas. Regardless of whether you already sort of have defined what you want to do, or even further, more so if you haven't defined what you want to do, just don't think that you have to be focused on that career pathways. The career pathways gives you some ideas of what are the classes that are related to one particular area here, but I personally, and this is personal things, I think that it's important to go and explore things that are completely out of your comfort zone.
totally agree. You'll get plenty narrow in your career. I mean, you know, that's where the expertise really develops. It doesn't develop. Even if you want to try to develop the expertise in a narrow area in law school, you can't do it. You learn more in the first 6 months of practice than you learn in a specific area. I mean, for me, in environmental law, I took a bunch of courses in environmental law. First 6 months, I was like, wow, I don't know Jack. Then I met Jack, and it's pretty good. So in academia and in law as a field, we talk about international law, and very often people are talking about public international law. So they're talking about the law between states, and that's primarily practiced either in governments or sometimes in non-governmental organizations or in international organizations, rarely in private practice. But then when you talk about private international law, and so sometimes you have to find out what people are talking about. Private international law, international business transactions, international business. That setting is primarily in law firms, in business law firms, and it is often transactional. There is some transnational litigation and such. But they're very different subject matters in some ways. And academically, we sometimes think of them separately. And then you have the idea of working internationally, working in a foreign office of a law firm, which we also sometimes label international. That's usually working in, most of that work is in private, in business transactions that are transnational and are dealing with either international rules or rules of foreign jurisdictions. So there's an incredibly wide range of how we kind of generically lump into international, and that's part of the challenge, frankly, we have for this working group, because it's so big, we don't really know how. We can't quite deal with this group the way the other working groups can. Environment and energy, we can deal with it much easier way. But because there's so many different, like, if I asked you, I wanted to ask you this question, so I'm going to turn your question into a question. How many of you, when you think about what you want to do, and you're thinking, I'm attracted to international law, what you want to do is have the ability to work overseas? Like, raise your hand. So for academics, so it's about half, maybe a little more than half. And that was my guess. For academics, and the way we think about international law, that's not how the course public international law is oriented. And in fact, most international law doesn't mean you would necessarily be working. It might be. You might be working in an international organization in Geneva. But if you want to work in a law firm in France, you're going to be working on either in private law, but you're going to need to know the law of the U.S. and you're going to need to know the law of Europe and some international rules. But it's a different. So we have to get comfortable with what, and you have to think about what you want as well. So international kind of embraces a bunch of different approaches. So some of us, in fact, when we hear international law, we think immediately World Bank, World Trade Organization, United Nations, and that's all we think about as where you would be doing. Or the State Department. That's traditional international law. But for a lot of students and others, or for Professor Snyder, when he hears international law, he thinks transnational business transactions. And that's being done at law firms, at banks, at commercial enterprises. And that's also international law. But you're right to ask, what does it look like and what is it different? Because they're pretty different approaches. I don't know if that's helpful as a beginning part of the conversation, but it's the type of question that we want to hear an answer through this process and other little one-on-one things, because it's a learning process for what you want to do and which direction you want to go. And international is hard because it embraces a bunch of things. I want to, I don't know how long we are had. So let me do one thing. Hold that for 1 minute before I go. Not to confuse matters with yet another thing, but there is another listserv which is very valuable for and maybe you're all on it. How many of you think you get a weekly email from the Global Opportunities Listserv? Raise your hand. Okay, so about half. So for the other half, if you're interested in learning about what's happening in the school about that covers international law or studying abroad or foreign visitors or all that sort of stuff, the best listserv to join and the best is this Global Opportunities listserv. And so I have a card which I believe you can pick up at the end, which talks about their office and has where you can email to get on the listserv. And it's the one place now we're trying to consolidate. Because the other thing about our school, you can pass it out. So if you're already on the listserv, I'm not sure we got enough for everybody. But, you know, because the other thing is we've got all the Human Rights Center's activities. And so we've got the Center for Commercial Arbitration. And we don't actually have, this is one place where much of it is centralized. So if you don't know which of the many different international areas you should be involved with, if you think you're really interested in human rights, you should still get on the Human Rights Center's listserv and things like that. Or if you're interested, in, you know, there's different ways to do this, and you don't have to read them all. But this is a good one that comes out every week, and we as a faculty try to send everything to them so opportunities are clear. Both here at the campus and ones abroad. I got an email today from the International Law Forum of the Women's Bar Association of D.C. And they have three cool activities happening, including just a meetup networking opportunity with the people. You know, we'll get that out in the Global Opportunities listserv. And it's one of the things you should do is join some of these gatherings out from Washington and get to meet people. This is fun. Get a buddy and go to it. Don't go alone because then you feel like you're drinking by yourself and it's fun.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Oh. Now you know what you want to do?
No. Again, just, I hope this question has broader appeal than just me, but I'm a joint degree with the School of International Service, and thus far it seems as though there's been very little kind of back and forth between WCL and the School of International Service.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if you had any advice on how to kind of juggle the competing degrees in either course planning or in deciding what kind of events to look out for here to complement those events as well. Just a question.
So one thing that we do have in common in addition to that joint degree is the program on law diplomacy and international organizations. And that program is run by Professor Fernanda Nicola, and I would look into those events as ways of combining those two degrees. If you don't know where to look at in terms of what would be more efficient to do, I would do that. And of course, my inclination is lean towards the events more than the science is great, of course. But I think that that would be a good starting point, that program. And that program also, you know, has a summer program with the components abroad as well. That would be my suggestion.
I wouldn't lean towards WCL. They do great stuff at SAS. But David wanted to answer that question.
I did. I wanted to just add something to that. I'm of two minds. And the first one is that as first-year students, as you know, the expectations focus on the JD curriculum, which is why you may be getting slightly less. But you'll be getting as much information as you need to be able to focus on that. And so what I would, without putting, I thought you could say one thing you have in common. One of the other things you have in common is that Professor Paul Williams, who directs that program, has a foot in WCL and a foot in that program. And he, as you probably know, is the advisor, official advisor. So I'd say for you or any students who are looking for more information, either shoot him or maybe more importantly, shoot me an email. Just follow him up on our breakout session. I'd love to be able to get more information, even though I know how to focus on our other district and JD.
There's I think part of it, you'll see more blending as you get out of your first year JD because of the reasons David said, and I was going to mention Paul, but for example, I give a lecture every year down at SAS on environmental law, and students come up here and take my classes, and there's a tremendous amount of great programming that happens there that we wouldn't hold here. And so we do get it cross-fertilized in different ways. So I think you'll find those bridges. I'll tell you this, it's not a question or a complaint I've heard about from joint JD SIS students after they're done with their first or second year. It just sort of takes care of itself. It's because you're focused in a, you know, let's face it, a pretty insular, pretty paternalistic way of getting through the first year of the law school. And that opens up, and so some of these concerns just go away, starting even now, I mean, starting your second semester. So I don't think it's going to be a, feel like a problem in another year.
I can't
let
you go.
I'm going to run and see if I can just grab and say hi.
Okay,
all right. Nice to see you,
obviously. So I can't let you go before telling you how important it is for those of you who speak a second language don't stop using that second language. But it's true that especially your first year, you don't have any opportunity to use it. But all of you are here because you're interested in international law. If you don't speak a second language, that's okay. But if you speak a second language and you stop using it, that's horrible. It's just that you're really using one of the most important tools that you will have to sell yourself and to be efficient outside of the real world. So if you haven't done actively something to keep up with your second language skills, I really highly encourage you to start thinking about that. But be reasonable in terms of how you think about that. Because I have students who say, yeah, no, I'm now going to take another class, I don't know where. And I think, you know, law school is already it's a busy program. So don't get really high expectations in terms of that now you're going to start learning a second language with a very intensive curriculum in that second language. Be reasonable, and there are many things that you can do to keep up with your language skills. One of them, as a foreigner, I used to do that myself when I first moved to this country, and is that I put my brain into the second language mode, which means that my website is set up in a second language, my calendar is written in that second language, my shopping, my grocery list is written in that second language, and every time I think in that second language. By now, of course, I think in that second language, which is English, more often than I wanted, you know, and so I look myself going back into Spanish and forcing my kids to Spanish. So I have that sort of schizophrenia in terms of what I really want to do. But I really encourage you to don't forget that part, that's going to be really, really important for you. It doesn't matter whether it's Spanish or it's French or it's Arabic or it's something way more rare. You will be able to pitch yourself better if you really, really are using it. But if you took it in college and then you forgot, you never did anything else with it, then it's very difficult. You can't go into a job interview and say, oh yeah, I do speak something. Because the chances are that person who's interviewing you will just switch to that language and you will be like, maybe I don't speak that way. So don't put yourself in that situation. And do be disciplined in terms of making sure that you don't forget your language skills. One of the things that I find really terrible is that we get a lot of students who speak a language, and then when they leave after 3 years, they speak less of that language. And I think that's a horrible loss. And I think as a school, you're not doing maybe enough to make sure that you guys keep up with your language skills. You know, we have classes in Spanish and French. We have classes in the summer programs in Spanish, in international education, in human rights. I don't know if your environmental program has any Spanish. Okay. So in the summer, you may be able to take classes in a different language. And we have all these programs, summer abroad, semester abroad, things that will allow you to also record your language skills.
Let me give you another idea about the language. Not Spanish or French. We often have language tables that are set up, and they usually happen just the initiative of a student. So if you speak to Tagalog or something, or Bahasa, and you'd like the opportunity to speak or any language, let us know, because we can facilitate the daylight. Sometimes that's a function. So we usually have some language tables going on that are informally. Drop in.
And that has to do with David's first point in terms of the LLMs. The LLM students are attorneys, foreign attorneys. Many of them are practicing already attorneys in different countries. They are not just recent graduates. So they are your best resource in terms of networking for opportunities abroad and for practicing your language skills. If there is one, any weird language out there, most likely we have a student who speaks it because we have such a rich LLM program.
There's
a lot of
languages. And actually, it's probably more of a JV than you just started to all into. JV platform is incredibly good now. It's just a matter of connecting.
So, do you have our emails, Professor Munters and myself? You can find us on the website anyway. So, Professor David Hunter, which last name starts with an H and a Q, and an N.
Hunter,
mine is size, which is S-A-E-Z. So you can find us through the property web page, and just shoot us an email at any time. Thank you.